The word of the Lord says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Somebody say, in His time.
His time.
And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, the paradox of change. The paradox of change. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. A season is an appointed time. A season is what we would understand as an appointment. We have four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall, or some would say autumn. We all have a purpose, a God-given purpose. Purpose is what we would understand as something of value. It's what brings you delight, or it's the reason for which something exists or is done or is made or is used. Tacos are made to eat, right? Tacos are made to be eaten. That's the, when somebody offers you a taco, that's a good sign that they like you. And there's a purpose. And so Ecclesiastes is written. And what Ecclesiastes means, it means the speaker before the assembly. Excuse me. Here we go. It means the speaker before the assembly or the preacher. Ecclesiastes was written by someone who had experienced wealth and power, fame and fortune and wisdom to the greatest degree in the ancient world. It's the fourth of five books that we would classify in the scriptures book of poetry. We know that Job and Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon would be classified in our scripture or in our Bible as book of poetry. Solomon wrote or he pens Ecclesiastes in the latter part of his life. And those of you taking notes, he wrote Proverbs in his middle age or in the middle part of his life, and then he pens Song of Solomon in the earlier years of his life. One of the words when you read and study Ecclesiastes, one of the words that really sticks out and kind of stands out to us as a reader is the word vanity. 12 chapters long, Ecclesiastes, but the word vanity is mentioned a whole lot. In fact, I'm going to go kind of a sidetrack here for real quick. If you're wanting to follow Pastor's Bible reading plan, you start today. You start with Proverbs chapter 1, and then you read three chapters of the Bible every day and start in the New Testament. Start in Matthew and read three chapters of the Bible every day, including the book of Proverbs. One chapter of the book of Proverbs for whatever day that is. So tomorrow, you'll read Proverbs chapter 2. There's 31 books in Proverbs, so there's enough for you to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. And so you will, if you follow this plan, you will read the Bible in completion in 1 year, and you would have read the book of Proverbs probably a dozen times throughout the year. So there we go. But Ecclesiastes 1:1 says, the word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So here we are tonight, the new year, year 2020. It's finally here. Brother Nichols, we don't have any flying cars yet. They were supposed to be here by now. But it's a day that for some is a new beginning of a resolution. For some, you've waited for this day today to come so you could start on a resolution. 65% of people, notice this, have or will have made a New Year's resolution. 65%. So if you had 10 people, we'll just bump it up to 7 people, because unless you have 6 people and a real short person, but 6.5. But in fact, I quote directly from Forbes with this. It says, studies have shown that less than 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions after just 30 days. And only 8% accomplish them. But change is coming, and change is happening regardless if we change or we recognize it, or we want there to be change. We can choose to go with the flow of change, or we can choose to fight change. But but change is coming regardless. Change is inevitable. But as I like to say, growth is optional. And whether we like it or not, springtime is coming. We may like the winter time. Well, hopefully we love where we live. I know I do. I do know there are some folks that they love to be cold. They love to be shivering. They love to be closed in their home because they can't get out because there's so much snow. And they like that lifestyle. They can have it. But summertime is coming too. And there are places where folks like to live or have to live where it's 100+ degrees from May to September. God brought me out of the valley. I was there long enough. Praise the Lord. But it is what it is. You got seasons, you got cycles, and we could complain and say, well, it's just another season, or we can go with the flow and adapt to some of the changes of the season. But if we need to take an understanding today that there is change taking place in each and every one of us as we speak. Some of us are developing less wrinkles. Some will get new cars. Some will gain weight, right? It's not a bad thing. Some will move and sit in a different part of the church. Kids will get taller. That's all change. Your eyesight will maybe diminish a little bit. Your hearing maybe won't be as strong as it used to. Somebody say, can you hear me now? But we have to understand that there's one thing that doesn't change. That is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven and in earth. The flower comes and goes. The seasons come and go. People come and go. Fads come and go. You make money, you lose money, you get one day you have a lot of hair. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you say, oh, wow, I look more like my father. What, my dad doesn't live here. And then you realize, you ought not to look and resemble so much as your earthly father as you should your heavenly father. You should be resembling and changing to look more like your heavenly father instead of saying, wow, I look in the mirror and I resemble my mother or my father. I want to resemble and look like my heavenly father. The more time I spend with him, the more I ought to resemble him. The more of him ought to rub off on me. The more of the fruit of the spirit ought to be manifested in my life. Not the works of the flesh, not lasciviousness, and not adultery, and not fornication, and not idolatry, but I want there to be love and goodness and temperance and self-control. I want there to be meekness because I want there to be faithfulness in my life because he doesn't change. He's faithful. So tonight I just want to talk about the paradox of change. Is our spiritual walk with God and our spiritual life, is there a change in it? Or are we drifting further and further away from the Word of God and drawing closer and closer to the things of our environment and society and things that are anti-Christ? Are we being more like Jesus? Or are we drifting further and further away from him? Notice this. Solomon is responsible for writing this, but I appreciate that the fact that we have this writing tonight, because he is if you read this, he is sparing future generations from the bitterness of learning through their own experience that life is meaningless without God. It's meaningless. Can anybody testify to this fact? That life is meaningless without God. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, your labor, or they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. I'd like us all to remember that we are all on a spiritual growth chart. You need to recognize that. Just as when you were a little boy or a little girl, age-wise, not maybe mentality or maturity level. Because you know sometimes you know somebody that knows somebody that, right? They're a couple years older now, but they're just a big kid, you know. But we're on a spiritual growth as not only as a church, but I'm going to personalize that. You are on a spiritual growth. And everybody ought to be growing and growing, and we grow at different levels. We're not all growing at the same pace, just like not all trees grow at the same pace. Notice this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. The key is that you grow. And the more you grow, the closer you get to Him. And the more you grow your spiritual tree, the more you allow Him to work in you and then through you. You allow the spiritual root system to grow. And in your branches is the Lord working through you. So that when folks come in contact with you and they grab the spiritual fruit that's hanging from your tree, they're grabbing love and meekness and faithfulness and worship and prayer. They're not grabbing bitterness and condemnation and hypocrisy, but they are grabbing fruit that is meat for repentance, fruit that can be sustained.
Amen.
Your growth needs to be spiritual, and it needs to be internal and external. And I'm going to talk about external spiritual growth and internal spiritual growth here in a couple weeks. But the growth needs to be one that the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you resemble Him. Amen. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man, the flesh, the carnal man, and the ways of the world need to be worked out of us. And a new man is worked in us. Sometimes you feel as if you're taking a pounding and a beating. Maybe that's the Lord pounding and beating something out of you so He can form you and breathe something in you that is fruit. We want spiritual fruit, right? Because there's a whole lot of religious nuts. But we need spiritual fruit.
Amen.
Know this. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We don't serve sin. And sin does not have dominion over you. We serve Him. And greater is He that is in you or in me than he that is in the world. People are going to change. Lifestyles are going to change. Ideas are going to change. But the Word of God doesn't change. Acts 2:38 doesn't change. Holiness doesn't change. One Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism doesn't change. The mighty God in Christ Jesus doesn't change. Love your enemies. Pray for those that hurt you. Doesn't change. Hey, everyone else may change. There's going to be a whole lot of people headed the wrong way. But the road to heaven is going to be narrow. It's going to be short. But he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change?
Amen.
So know this. When you repented of your sins, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were born again. You're born again. You were born again of the water and the Spirit. There was a change that began in you. You're not who you used to be. Yeah, tell your neighbor, you better be glad I'm not who I used to be. Better be real glad. Neither should you crave, desire, long, or get this, entertain or tease yourself with what God had delivered you from.
That's good.
So those thoughts and those behaviors, they got to go.
Amen.
That's not you anymore. That bitter person has become a better person. That rebellious person that you were before, you're striving to be submitted. Come on, somebody. That unfaithful lifestyle is now working towards a life of faithfulness. Yeah. That unholy conversation and that distasteful talk you used to have is now being replaced with words of life. Come on, somebody. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you were cursing people before. Now you're blessing those same people. You say, well, I'm going to pray for you because I want to be as good as you are because you seem to have it all together. Well, hallelujah anywhere. I'm talking about the paradox of change. So the first point tonight, I got to hurry. Endurance is not for the faint of heart. You're like a newly planted tree. It takes time to grow, to develop, to mature, to bear fruit, and reproduce. This walk is not a race. The walk towards heaven is not one of a sprint. It's one of endurance. It's not speed. It's not a 40-yard dash. It's a marathon. And here's this. If you're taking notes, it is a walk of faithfulness in spite of temptations, in spite of trials, in spite of disappointments, in spite of successes. It's a walk of faithfulness in spite of personality conflicts, right? You ever have a personality conflict with somebody at work? Do you just call in, quit, not cash your check? You're like, man, they ought to be paying me more to deal with her. Right? I need a raise. You didn't tell me when you moved her to my department that, right? You still go to work. Still cash that check when things go wrong at the job, right? They start laying people off. You don't be like, oh, well, I'm going to turn my check in. You're like, praise the Lord for this check.
Amen.
It's a paradox of change. The Bible tells us in Matthew, and I mentioned it earlier, says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. When you look at that word endure, it means to remain. Brother Marquez, I like when I look up this word and I see this, it says to have fortitude. Sister Thompson, when was the last time we saw somebody with some fortitude? Right? Because it seems like nowadays you see folks and just like, you know, I know nobody hears that way, but you know somebody that may know somebody that knows somebody that you're just like crybabies. Well, where's the fortitude? Some grit, some perseverance to say, hey, life is tough and life is real tough without God. And life is foolishness with the devil. So your problem is you got 2/3 of the problem wrong, right? Things are changing all around us. But God's word never changes. His word is settled. No matter where you're at, what you're going through, what's changing around you, God's word is a sure foundation.
Amen.
So endurance. It's the ability to remain, to be active. Notice this. To resist, to withstand, to recover from, and have immunity to trauma, wounds, or fatigue. Wow. Endurance, or someone that has a spiritual endurance, doesn't quit. This is the first service of the year, right here. 2020. Unless you're Brother Carlos, Brother Juan, probably going to miss one or two services a year. Right? It's going to happen. But you know that there's going to be folks that don't miss a church service, and I'm not talking about the Bautistas, but that they're never going to miss church service. They're going to give in the offering all the time, and they're not going to make it to heaven. We're going to be surprised who's in heaven. And you're going to be surprised who's not there.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Let's be real. Let's talk about it. Pastor, you're scaring me. Hey, we need to have a reverence. We got to understand. We better say, hey, Lord, you could come at any time. I want to make sure I'm ready. It's not the three little pigs and a big bad wolf. This is real stuff. This is serious stuff. This is, you're talking about eternity right here. This is not something that, well, you know, we made it to 2020 and we're going to make it to 2030. Hey, we may not make it till tomorrow. Pastor, you're freaking me out. I'm just telling you. Let's just be real. We're all changing. Our bodies are, hey, the outward man perisheth, the scripture said. But the inward man is renewing day by day. We're getting older. We're not getting any younger. We're living longer. True. But guess what? We're not living to be 200 years old. We're not living. There's no Methuselahs around here. We're all changing physically. But we got to make sure that we do not contradict the word of God, that we are ready to meet him whenever he calls us. I tell you, Ecclesiastes 3, when you read that, there's a season and a time and a purpose for everything. You know one thing we don't have influence on? You don't have influence on when you're born. And you don't have influence on, for the most part, on when you die. Pastor, what are you doing? Just talking about change. Just talking about change. Because everything around us is changing. We need to make sure that we are spiritually drawing closer to God. There may be some things that we have to change in our lives. Endurance. Oh, notice this. When you endure, you don't quit. Endure may slow down. Endure may get a little side ache. The runner that is running an endurance race may get a little side ache, but he finishes. The scripture tells us in Galatians 6 and 9, let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if you faint not. Hey, it's okay for things not to be okay. It's okay to wonder if you're the only one going through what you're going through. It's okay to ask God questions. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But you keep moving. If you fall forward towards the altar. Fall forward towards the cross. Fall forward towards the feet of Jesus. Don't fall back and don't fall out. Fall forward. Endure. Endure steps up in tough times. Endure means that you will be able to stand and be like Job that says, I know my Redeemer liveth. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. The Lord, there's times of plenty and there's times of not so much. But you know what? If I got my salvation, it's going to be worth it all. Because I'm going to a place where there's no tears, no sorrow, no heartache, no problems, no trouble, no drama. Worship all the time. Notice this. When you're enduring, you're looking for a way to help somebody else endure and finish the race. Tell your neighbor, help me, don't hurt me. Tell them, love me, pray for me. Tell them, you don't have to like me, but love me and pray for me. Let's endure together. Notice Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, all the spiritual people say amen.
Amen.
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It doesn't say gossip. It doesn't say point the finger and condemn. Post on social media. Amen. Send a picture of them dressing unholy to everyone else instead of going to them and say, hey, praying for you. Notice this. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth everybody. He deceiveth himself. 2020 is not going to be perfect, but it's going to be blessed.
Amen.
2020 is going to have some sunshiny days, some rainbows. The seasons are going to change, but it's going to be blessed. Yeah, because we're going to endure. We're going to stay in the church. We're going to stay in the realm of revival. We're going to stay prayed up. We're not going to be lukewarm. We're not going to fall back. We're going to fall forward. When we endure, we bear one another's cross. When we endure, we become the Book of Acts church. We're the Book of Acts church. We're a continuance of the Book of Acts. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly. That means that they were faithful in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. All the folks that like fellowship, say amen. And in breaking of bread. Bondu says bread too, right? And in prayers. Because still likes that. Amen. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were done by the apostles. Notice this. And all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions as good and parted to them all men, and every man had need. Notice this. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. That means that they came together with worship, unified. They were in one accord in the temple. And breaking of bread, did they eat with gladness and singleness of heart? And notice what happens. And praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. Ha! Huh. The Lord did it. Because they endured. Things were changing, but they endured. They remained faithful. Anybody want to remain faithful? Anybody striving to remain faithful? You're here. You made it. You're faithful tonight. You are here. Doesn't mean that the folks that aren't here aren't faithful, but I'm not preaching to them tonight. I'm preaching to you. There's going to be change in the world. There's going to be change in the neighborhood. There's going to be change in your families. And not all change is bad. But can I tell you, the Word of God doesn't change. Our walk with God should not change for the adverse, but it ought to change where we draw closer to Him. We don't pray less, we pray more. We don't worship less, we worship more. We don't give less, we give more. We don't become less faithful, we become more faithful. I'm looking forward to God doing some great things. Not every day is going to be the same. Every day will bring new opportunity, new challenges, new blessings, new set of choices and circumstances. Each day, remember this, is the day that the Lord hath made. Look what the scripture says in Psalm 118. He makes the day, and our responsibility is to be glad in it and rejoice. Yeah, I don't know. I roll out of bed. I don't know what this day is going to bring, but I'm glad that I'm here and I made it. I'm going to find some way to rejoice and be glad about this day, even if it's because I get to come back in this bed again later on. But I'm going to be glad that I'm sleeping in a bed and I'm not sleeping under a bridge. Come on, somebody. Not every church service is going to be the same. Just like every day is different, not everybody's going to be the same. But I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 95:2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hey, not every trial, not every blessing will be the same. Yeah. Because listen, I'm going to read this just the way I wrote it. God will test us and bless us based on the measure that He can trust us, and if we've learned or passed the test before. Some folks are going to be tested before they're blessed, while others are being blessed, and others are going to be tested. But you have to understand, it's their season to be blessed, and it's your season to be tested. Well, right? Celebrate with them in their season of blessing. Because you want them to help you in your season of testing. Come on now. In your season of trial, you don't want them saying, well, I don't want to be you. Right? The Bible says, bless them. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them or cry with them that are crying. Hey, things are going to change. You're not always going to be living high on the hog all the time. Right? It might not always be steak and lobster. It may just be steak for a long time. But guess what? Guess what? You're going to have some testing. And you're going to have some blessings in 22. But you in 2020. But you endure. And you remain. And you're faithful. Because things are going to change. But God doesn't change. He says, I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. People come and go. But He is faithful. Yeah. Think about this. How much time do I have? What time is it? Well, the musicians come. All right, musicians come. Here we go. Think about the carrot. Just a regular carrot, right? And you got the egg, an ove. In Portuguese, we call it an ove, right? You got an egg and a carrot. And then you get a coffee bean. Any coffee drinkers in the house tonight? Right? Get a coffee bean. Any coffee drinkers in the house? You thought I was reaching for a gift card, huh? And you take a boiling pot of water, Brother Parra. Hot boiling pot of water. for soup, right?
Yep.
Caldo.
Caldo.
Pepollo, yeah. Right? And you put that carrot in that boiling pot of water, Brother Breon. And then you put that egg in that boiling pot of water. And then you put that coffee bean or beans in that boiling pot of water. Same temperature, same environment. The carrot becomes soft and mushy, right? You could break it with the fork. The egg, it goes in and it's brittle, right? The carrot was hard when it went in the water. The egg, before it goes in the boiling water, is very delicate, right? Liquidy inside, brittle on the outside. But you put it in that boiling pot of water and it becomes hardened. But the coffee bean changes the aroma of the room. The coffee bean changes the color of the water. Oh yeah. Some of you like that aroma and the color of that water. You won't talk to nobody until you get 2 cups of that. Right? Yeah, I'm preaching now. But they all experienced change and they all went through the same thing. One went in hard and came out soft. One went in very delicate and brittle. Through the process, became hardened. But the coffee bean changed its environment. And now we all line up and pay $4 for coffee. But it's changed the environment. Think about that. What will change do to you? Or what will you do to change? How will you embrace the blessing of a new year? Pray more. Read your Bible. Give more. Fast more. Love more. Be closer to God. Be more holy. Lifestyle, conversation, dressing. Be more forgiving, more long-suffering, more merciful. Have more compassion. Look for ways to be a blessing. Look for ways to be used by God. How will you, because the year has changed. God doesn't change. But how will we adapt with what's changing naturally? It's a natural. There's a natural change taking place. If there is a change in your life spiritually, it needs to be towards spiritual growth, not towards spiritual dormancy. Think about that. Not towards spiritual demise. But oh God, a new year, the same you, but a new me, deeper walk with you. More love, more kindness, more prayer, more giving, more worship, more dedicated than ever before. Oh God, if I went to 2 services a week, I'm going to go to 3. If I gave $10 a week, I'm going to give 20. If I prayed 10 minutes, I'm going to pray 15. If I read 1 verse, I'm going to read 1 chapter. If I was struggling with external holiness, I'm going to get it this year. If I had some things I was thinking about, I'm going to get rid of, delete, cancel, eliminate, Lord, because I don't want anything, any place, anything, God, to draw me away from you who is faithful, who doesn't change. But oh God, I want there to be a spiritual growth in me. If there's a change in me, God, I want there to be a change of maturity, of spiritual walk with God, where I can have spiritual fruit so that I can reproduce spiritual fruit. I can reproduce that which you have given me, oh God. You stand this morning, this evening. I'm proud of you. This church has grown. It has labored. 2020 is here, and there's so much I'll share with you in the coming weeks. But oh God, He doesn't change. Oh Lord in heaven doesn't change. So I wonder tonight, what is one thing? Don't raise your hand, don't tell pastor, you keep it to yourself, that you want God to change in you. And what is one thing that you need to change, that you have responsibility to change in your walk with God? Sister Ellen plays and sings. I want us to find a place to pray. Lift our hands, lift our voices. Preferably come to the altar. If you want a deeper walk with God, I challenge you to come. Let's make this the first step of change towards a spiritual transformation in all of us today. You My soul.
My soul has found rest.
Oh Lord.
I give you thanks.
Come on, somebody, would you talk to the Lord tonight?
Thanks. I give you thanks for all you love. I am so blessed.
Our soul.
My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord,
I give you thanks. Come on, that's it. That's beautiful. Pray one for another. Encourage one another.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed.
Come on, what will 2020 bring to you?
My soul has found rest.
I declare blessings. I declare favor like never before. I declare healing and deliverance. Greater things. I declare new beginnings.
I give you thanks.
I declare things that we may have even forgotten about. I declare restoration. I declare anointing.
I am so blessed. My